Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we're covering one of the most important and frequently examined topics in GCSE Business Studies, People and Human Resources. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel, OCR, or another board, the people topic comes up every single year. And the good news is if you understand the key concepts and can apply them to a business context, you can pick up marks really efficiently. In the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover the core concepts, organizational structures, recruitment, motivation theories, training, and employment law. Then I'll walk you through the most common exam mistakes and how to avoid them. After that, we'll do a quick-fire recall quiz to test your memory, and I'll leave you with a summary you can carry into the exam hall. Let's get started. Let's start with organizational structure. Every business has a structure, a way of organizing its people. The two main types you need to know are tall structures and flat structures. A tall structure has many layers of hierarchy and a narrow span of control. Think of a traditional bank or a large supermarket chain. There might be 6 or 7 levels from the CEO all the way down to the shop floor worker. Because each manager only looks after a small number of people, maybe 2 or 3, communication can be slow and decisions take longer to filter down. However, there's clear supervision and employees know exactly who to report to. A flat structure, on the other hand, has fewer layers and a wide span of control. A manager might oversee 8 or 10 people directly. Communication is faster, decisions can be made more quickly, and employees often feel more empowered. Small businesses and tech startups often use flat structures. The downside? Managers can become overloaded, and there are fewer promotion opportunities for staff. Two key terms you absolutely must know. Span of control, the number of subordinates a manager is directly responsible for, and chain of command, the line of authority from the top of the organization to the bottom. Examiners love these terms. Use them confidently and in context. Now let's talk about recruitment and selection. When a business needs a new employee, it follows a process. First, it identifies the vacancy. Then it writes a job description, which outlines the duties and responsibilities of the role, and a person specification, which describes the skills, qualifications, and experience the ideal candidate should have. These are different documents and candidates often confuse them, so make sure you're clear. Next comes advertising. The business can recruit internally, promoting someone already in the business, or externally, advertising to people outside. Internal recruitment is cheaper and faster, and the candidate already knows the business. External recruitment brings in fresh ideas and a wider talent pool, but it costs more and takes longer. Examiners expect you to weigh up both sides. After advertising, the business receives applications, shortlists candidates, and then conducts interviews or selection tests before making a job offer. Simple process, but make sure you can explain each step and link it to a business context. Now for motivation, and this is where the theory gets really interesting, you need to know 3 key theorists. First, Frederick Taylor. He believed workers are motivated primarily by money. His approach, called scientific management, involved breaking jobs down into small, repetitive tasks, measuring how long each task should take, and paying workers based on how much they produced. This is called piece rate pay. It works well in manufacturing environments, but critics say it treats workers like machines and ignores other needs. Second, Abraham Maslow. He argued that people have a hierarchy of needs, 5 levels from the most basic at the bottom to the most complex at the top. At the base, physiological needs, food, water, shelter, met by a basic wage. Then safety needs, job security, a safe working environment. Then social needs, being part of a team, good relationships at work. Then esteem needs, recognition, promotion, feeling valued. And at the very top, self-actualization, reaching your full potential, being given challenging and meaningful work. The key insight is that once a lower need is met, it no longer motivates. The next level up becomes the driver. Third, Frederick Hertzberg. He split workplace factors into 2 groups. Hygiene factors, things like salary, working conditions, and job security, don't actually motivate people if they're present, but they demotivate people if they're present, but they demotivate if they're absent. Think of them as the baseline. Motivators, things like achievement, recognition, responsibility, and interesting work, are what actually drive people to perform better. So a business needs to get the hygiene factors right first, then focus on motivators to truly engage its workforce. When you're writing about motivation in the exam, always link the theory to the specific business in the question. Don't just describe Maslow, explain how a business could use Maslow's theory to motivate its workers in that particular context. Finally, let's touch on training and employment law. Businesses train staff in two main ways: on-the-job training, learning while doing the actual role, often cheaper and immediately relevant, and off-the-job training, attending courses or workshops away from the workplace, which can be more thorough but is more expensive and means the employee isn't working during that time. On employment law, businesses must comply with key legislation. The Equality Act 2010 protects workers from discrimination on the basis of protected characteristics such as age, gender, race, and disability. The National Minimum Wage Act sets the minimum hourly rate employers must pay. The Health and Safety at Work Act 1974 requires employers to provide a safe working environment. You don't need to quote the exact year in every answer, but knowing the name of the legislation adds precision and earns marks. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. Mistake number one, failing to apply your knowledge to the business in the question. This is the single biggest error. If the question is about a small family-run bakery, don't write a generic answer about motivation. Talk about how that bakery could use Hertzberg's motivators, given its size and the nature of the work. Examiners reward application. Every time you make a point, ask yourself, have I linked this to the business in the question? Mistake number two, confusing tall and flat structures. Remember, tall means many layers and narrow span of control. Flat means U layers and wide span of control. Draw a quick sketch in your planning if it helps. Mistake number three. In extended response questions, typically worth 6 marks or more, candidates write one-sided answers. If the question asks you to evaluate or discuss, you must consider both sides of the argument and reach a justified conclusion. A conclusion that just says, it depends, without explaining what it depends on, will not earn top marks. Mistake number four, vague use of motivation theory. Don't just say, Maslow says people have needs. Explain which needs are relevant to the business context and how the business could address them. On command words, identify or state means give a brief answer, one or two words or a short sentence. Explain means give a reason or cause, developed with a connective like, this means that, or as a result. Analyze means explore the impact in depth. Evaluate means weigh up the evidence and reach a supported judgment. Match your depth of answer to the command word and the mark allocation. Time for the quiz. I'll ask the question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then press play to hear the response. Question one, what is the difference between a job description and a person's specification? A job description outlines the duties of the role. A person's specification describes the skills and qualities the ideal candidate should have. Question two, name Maslow's 5 levels of need from bottom to top: physiological, safety, social, esteem, self-actualization. Question three, according to Hertzberg, what is the difference between a hygiene factor and a motivator? Hygiene factors prevent dissatisfaction, but don't motivate. Motivators actively drive performance and satisfaction. Question four, what is the span of control? The number of subordinates a manager is directly responsible for. Question five, name one advantage of internal recruitment. It is cheaper, faster, and the candidate already knows the business culture. Brilliant work. You've covered a lot in 10 minutes. Let's recap the essentials. Organizational structure, now the tall versus flat, span of control, and chain of command. Recruitment, understand the full process and be able to compare internal versus external. Motivation, know Taylor, Maslow, and Hertzberg, and always apply them to the business context. Training, on the job versus off the job, with advantages and disadvantages of each. Employment law, Equality Act, National Minimum Wage, Health and Safety at Work Act. In the exam, always read the stimulus material carefully, use business terminology confidently, and make sure your extended answers have a clear structure: point, evidence, explanation, and, for evaluation questions, a justified conclusion. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark you earn in the exam is a mark you've worked for. Good luck. I'm rooting for you.